Do you have a tricky work problem that you need to solve? I have a great podcast recommendation for you featuring a pair of expert women. Whether you're just starting your career or a seasoned professional, check out Fixable, a podcast from TED. Hosted by Harvard professor Frances Fry and her wife, leadership coach Ann Morris, the brilliant duo provide honest, actionable advice to help you navigate everything from a gaslighting manager to returning to work after parental leave. They'll leave you feeling empowered and ready to act. Listen to Fixable wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, and welcome to the Bossed Up Podcast, episode 451. I'm your host, Emily Aries, the founder and CEO of Bossed Up. And today I want to talk about what the impact might be on working moms who are navigating this new trend in return to office mandates. Perhaps you've been navigating this yourself personally this year. If so, I really want to hear from you and what this experience has been like for you, because I think this could have, and I'm not alone in this, I think this could have some pretty catastrophic impacts on women's participation in the workforce, particularly women like me with young children. So let's break it down. First, I think it's important to acknowledge that in 2020, we saw basically a she session, as it has been coined, right? This is when women in the workforce dropped out of the paid labor force in alarming numbers with alarming speed, right? In 2020, we plummeted to workforce participation rates for women that we hadn't seen since the 1980s. And this is not surprising considering a lot of public schools went fully remote, daycare centers completely shut down, right? In the height of this global pandemic we've been navigating, women disproportionately shouldered a lot of the childcare responsibilities. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. You know, women on average who are in heterosexual partnerships earn less than their partner. A lot of single moms didn't have the option, right? Who else was going to stay home if you didn't have a network of care or unpaid network of care? And a lot of folks are navigating this with childcare, which helps the world go round. So when childcare falls apart, your whole life falls apart. Your whole career falls apart. And that was disproportionately felt and shouldered by women. And so moms were out of the workforce at alarming rates. Now, fast forward to 2023, and women's participation rates in the paid labor force have come roaring back. In fact, as of 2023, I know technically we're in 2024, but a lot of the data we have to work on as of now is about 6 months old. So as of June 2023, it was really women with young children who were at the forefront of women's overall workforce participation coming roaring back. Brookings found that as of June 2023, 70% of women with kids under five were in the paid workforce, which is actually an all-time record. Because back in 2019, even prior to the pandemic, that number was only 68.9%. So women on the whole are reaching brand new records when it comes to workforce participation. And the main difference has been that impact has been made by women with young children. And so when you look at that data, a lot of what people point to as to why this is happening, because it's not like we've had a federal, you know, system of quality, affordable childcare implemented, right? It's not like we've had other systemic factors solved for. What folks time and time again point to is the rise and increase in flexible work options, particularly in a very tight labor market where employers were willing to be creative and be flexible in order to get talent in the door. Now, when you look at the numbers around flexible and remote work, that is particularly valued by moms. So while on the whole, the majority of working Americans do support hybrid work schedules, about 68% of them do, and another 64% of working Americans value the option to work from home, It's even more important to working moms. You know, 77% of working moms support hybrid schedules, and 74% of working moms support working from home. So while the vast majority of all working Americans care about those flexible options, that's particularly valued by and it's seen as important by women with children. And this all comes from a Bankrate study that also found, and as of just about 6 months ago when they took this survey in 2023, that 78% of working women with children under 18 are willing to make sacrifices to have access to a hybrid work schedule or working from home. So that might mean, you know, making concessions around pay, making concessions around industry. Like maybe it's, you know, they're accepting jobs they wouldn't otherwise be interested in because they offer the work from home or hybrid schedule. So economists and social scientists are looking at all of this data and saying, okay, we've seen women come roaring back in the past 3 to 4 years into the paid workforce, led by women with young children and led by moms overall, who tend to value flexible and remote work options even more so than the average American, the average working American who also cares about those things. So what does it mean for working moms when we start to see in 2024 a growing trend, particularly in very male-dominated industries like tech and finance, of moving away from flexible work schedules and calling all of the workers back to the office full-time? And now let me first acknowledge to every woman listening to this right now who's like, I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, you know, I'm a school teacher. I never had the option, really. You know, there are a lot of folks in our workforce for whom remote work was never an option. And so I don't want to, you know, ignore that fact. But when we see tech companies, when we see engineering companies, when we see finance companies that have flexed their work schedule options to meet even record profits in the past 3 years with a flexible workforce, a remote workforce that has helped deliver those results, and they are now calling people back to the office 5 days a week, that is very troubling to a lot of people. And I'm sure I'm not alone in being concerned, particularly for what that might spell for women with children, moms in the workforce. To give you a sense of the decline and sort of the impact of the movement away from flexible work, there was some really interesting data that just came out from Indeed, one of the largest job platforms for job seekers in the world. And this is particularly relevant for my job seeker friends who say, I'm only looking for remote work. I refuse to, you know, open myself up to anything but remote work. To which I always say, okay, you know, that's a very narrow net that you're casting. And this data from Indeed reinforces that. They are finding that hybrid work options and remote work openings, job openings with remote or hybrid schedules are dwindling. In an analysis of job postings, they found that the peak for remote and hybrid jobs was in February of 2022. That was when there were the most remote and hybrid job options on their platform available. And at its peak, that only accounted for 10.3% of job postings on Indeed. So if you're saying, you know, Emily, I can't go back to the office, I refuse, you're already at the peak of workplace flexibility, you were discounting 90% of job openings that were available at the time. That 10.3% of flexible jobs, remote job options, has fallen precipitously to the point where by May of last year, so what is that, 9 months ago, May of 2023, that number fell to just 8.4% of Indeed job postings. And I would venture to guess, I hope Indeed comes out with more data, because I would be very curious to see what that number looks like in Q1 of 2024. I would be surprised if it didn't go down significantly more. So if you are a job seeker, let's say it went down to 5% of jobs on Indeed. If you're a job seeker right now, perhaps one who doesn't have caregiving responsibilities or disabilities that make commuting to the office particularly challenging for you, and you say, look, I just prefer remote work, I'm not going back to the office, then you are competing along with every working parent out there, every working mom out there, everyone for whom flexible and remote schedules are like a necessity, you're competing for 5% of the share of jobs that are being posted every day. And so I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't go for them because, you know, anyone should have that option to compete for those jobs, but those jobs are competitive. So let that be a takeaway for my job seekers listening. But what's particularly alarming is if we look at all of what I've cited already in terms of data today, we know that women have come roaring back to the workforce as flexible and hybrid schedules have become a trend. So it's no wonder to me that there are alarmist headlines coming out, like this Washington Post article from last December, so just about 4 months ago, by Joanne Littman, the title of which is Return to Office Mandates Are a Disaster for Working Mothers. And I think a little bit of that is hyperbole. I hope it is, at least, because her piece opens up by saying how soon we forget. At the start of the COVID pandemic, women were pushed out of the workforce at an alarming rate, sparking a full-blown she session. There were dire predictions that it would take years to recover from the drop. And then she goes on to say, today, not only has that trend reversed, but women have roared back. And I'm thinking, is this just another hyperbolic panic that feminists are having? Or is this, you know, is this going to have a massive negative impact on women, particularly women with caregiving responsibilities, whether that's for aging parents or young children or middle school children or high school children or college age children? Like, is this going to have the negative impact that people say it could? And I hope the answer is no. But I think the bottom line takeaways for me in looking at all of this data, I should probably name my bias here, by the way. My bias is that I'm not a big work from home fan, personally. Am I a feminist? Yes. Do I believe workplace flexibility is a feminist stance? Absolutely. But when I had a larger team, we were in the office 3 days a week. You know, I had an office downtown where I mandated my office, my team members return to work during the height of the pandemic. And so I'm an extrovert. I'm someone who really believes collaboration is easier in person. So I get it. I just think that the way things are, or the way things used to be pre-2020, is frankly not something to aspire to. The way that work was designed 5 days a week, 9 to 5, that really came about with Henry Ford and the Model T. Like, that is an antiquated approach to work anyway in 2019, much less 2024 and beyond. And so that system never worked for most women and lots of other marginalized workers who I've already mentioned, like other kinds of caregivers, folks with disabilities, just all kinds of folks for whom we didn't fit into the archetypical ideal worker trope with a full-time caregiver at home making the rest of our worlds go round, right? Anyone who knows the realities of just like modern dual income, dual earner households, much less dual earner households with children, it's just, that was never ideal. That was never that easy to pull off, particularly because there's this one other stat I have to throw at us at the end here. Research has found as of January 2023 that working from home saved an average of 72 minutes a day for people who no longer had a commute. So people who have 72 hours more in their day because of working from home and hybrid work schedules, like that has a massive impact. And going back to the way things are is not the intention here, is not the goal, because it was never working for every part of our workforce. And my second takeaway from all of this is that if you as a leader, as an executive team, mandate this one-size-fits-all approach to how your workers should work, you're going to have a one-size-fits-all approach to what kind of workers you get. You're going to have a very homogenous workforce. As a result, you're going to get a whole bunch of people who are the same as each other. And I don't want to stand on a soapbox again and make the case for the economic merits of diversity in the workforce, but they're real, right? If we know that diverse workforces yield better bottom line results, but I think there's a really important moral argument here too, which is that being a workplace that caters to individuals' needs while exchanging, you know, the employer's money for the employee's labor, like that personalization, that individualization, that individualized approach is really what I think flexible work should be all about. It's not saying we all need to work from home full time. It's not saying we all need to work in the office full time. It's saying we need to be accommodating to people's needs. And we need to be understanding that not every worker in our workforce has the same needs. We have to take that equitable, not equality approach to thinking about giving folks what they need to be successful. And guess what? If you do that, your management team is going to get more from your people, right? You're going to get better results if we give people the tools and the flexibility that they need to be successful. And so my final point and takeaway on all of this is this whole return to office movement impacts so much more, is so much bigger an issue than any one of our own careers or any one of our own employers' decisions, right? It's not just about how we as individuals are going to navigate this. This all goes back to broader systemic forces, which I've been trying to do a better job on this podcast of acknowledging and speaking about and connecting to what we're I'm sharing here, right? Like our action hub at bossedup.org/takeaction goes into more detail on some of these big policy initiatives. But when we talk about returning to the office and how it's going to disproportionately negatively impact women with children, we can't not talk about quality, affordable childcare. If our country cared about quality, affordable access to childcare, these smaller issues, which are still big, but these issues would be mitigated. Working parents' lives would already be more plausible with or without hybrid and remote work options. If we had tackled as a society, as a country, equal pay for equal work in a real way, if we had more women breadwinners, if we had more women who were earning, you know, equal pay for equal work, then we wouldn't have seen so many women make the calculation that they're going to be the ones to stay home to take care of their kids in 2020 because, oh, you know, my husband's salary or my partner's salary is greater than mine, so it makes sense that I'm going to take a back seat, which is a calculation I hear peers of mine and all kinds of people make every single day. And finally, if we had already solved for the gender leadership gap, I'm looking at finance, I'm looking at tech, I'm looking about these super male-dominated industries that are at the forefront of the return to office mandates, right? If we had more women executives in those boards or on those boards and in those boardrooms making these decisions about how we should structure work here that's going to impact all of the workers' lives who we might not share any modicum of similarities with as senior executives at these companies, if we had more women who knew what it was like to just be a working parent today, or more feminist men who understood the role of men in today's world in helping to shoulder childcare and housework in equal rates than their women partners in heterosexual relationships, like more women at the helm making these decisions, I have to believe, and you could debate me on this, we could debate on this, but I believe would make us have more equitable and inclusive approaches to how we're making these decisions. So would we even have the return to office mandates that we have today? I don't know. So, you know, I don't want to end on too depressing a note, but I just want to remind us that all of this drama that's playing out on the stage of capitalism is happening on the backdrop of a society, of a country that has yet to meet mothers, working moms in particular, their basic needs, like affordable quality childcare, equal pay, and closing the gender leadership gap. So I hope we can all advocate for flexible work options that work for everyone in our workforce. But in the meantime, this is not a singular fight, right? We have to think systematically. I'm really curious to hear how this lands with you. How are you experiencing this? Is this coming up in your office? Send me an email at emily@bossedup.org, and I want to hear your stories about how you may or may not be navigating this yourself. I mean, I know folks who are, you know, got a job in 2021 that was fully remote and they moved to Montana and now their New York City based company is calling them back to the office. It's like, what do you do in those situations? I really want to hear what this means for you and what I missed. So as always, let's keep the conversation going. You can always send me an email, but you can always chime in via our Courage community on Facebook or the Bossed Up group on LinkedIn. And you can get a fully written out version of this podcast today with a full transcript and a blog post that's really easy to read and share at bossedup.org/episode451. That's bossedup.org/episode451. And until next time, let's keep bossing in pursuit of our purpose. And together, let's lift as we climb. Let's face it, speaking up at work can be really hard to do, especially for women and women of color. When the stakes are high and you've already worked so hard to just be the only woman in the room and you want to get everything right, you want to have all your facts and figures accurate before making your voice heard, it's just so much easier to stay silent instead. Researcher Deb Jahansky calls this loss of voice phenomenon, and it actually emerges in adolescent women at greater rates than men, and it sticks with us for the rest of our lives. Self-silencing behavior can actually become an unconscious habit unless we consciously engage in practicing our assertive communication skills. And we here at Bossed Up have set out to help women like you do just that. Speak Up, my live assertive communication course, is back open for enrollment, and we're kicking off a new cohort launching this June. Over the course of 8 life-changing weeks, you'll have access to interactive online curriculum and live weekly practice sessions where you, Irene, and I, and a cohort of fellow Speak Up bosses who are owning their voice, overcoming the social messages that have taught us to keep silent, and really learning to strategically and assertively communicate when it matters most, will actually have the practice time to rewire our brains, create new neural pathways, and build better habits when it comes to speaking up with confidence and precision and assertively communicating in the workplace. Learn more and enroll today to secure your spot at bossedup.org/speakup. That's bossedup.org/speakup.